Well, good to have you with us again this Sunday or whenever you are watching, and from wherever you're watching, we want to welcome you. Just a couple of things before we dive into a brand new sermon series this week. First is, we're looking forward to drive-in church next Sunday, May 9th, and then we're going to do it the following week as well, May 9th, May 16th. Drive-in church, you must register ahead of time. Go to our website to do that. Also, look at the COVID restrictions. There's a number of them. The biggest one is you can't get out of your car. So want to encourage you to come out. We had a great first one last week. Next one's next week. Register online, 11:30 next Sunday. Of course, we'll be having our online service at 10 o'clock as usual. And also, this is the time of year in the church life where we're looking to our AGM in June. And one of the things we do at our business meeting in June is we elect leaders in our church. And we want to give the opportunity for the church body to put names forward for that. And we're looking for a servant leader for our leadership board. We're also looking for a finance ministry director. And if you would like to nominate someone, you can go to our webpage, scroll down near the bottom. There's a big blue button that says nomination package. And so be praying about that as we seek to find the right people for key leadership roles in our church. Well, as I mentioned, we're starting a new series this morning, Stories Jesus Told. Jesus lived in a storytelling world. In his culture, communication really revolved around the use of word pictures and metaphors and stories. And as you can well imagine, and if you read the Gospels, you know this, Jesus was a master storyteller. Stories were how Jesus taught truth. Many of his stories were parables, and parables, very simply, are stories that illustrate a moral or a spiritual truth. Sometimes the lessons in the parable are very clear, as we're going to see today. Sometimes, as we go through this series, you will see they're not so clear. But parables are stories that illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. And over the next few weeks, let's slip into the sandals of those who heard Jesus' parables and see what we can learn. We're going to start today with a parable that was early in Jesus' ministry. It involves two very different people: Simon, a Pharisee, one of the spiritual elite, and an unnamed woman. They met under the same roof, drawn together by mutual attraction, not for each other, but drawn to a mutual attraction of Jesus. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 says this: when one of the Pharisees, that was Simon, invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. The custom of the day was to invite rabbis and other men over for dinner to discuss theological issues. And so here, Simon, a Pharisee, invited Jesus to dinner. And when a guest of a rabbi's stature came to your home, you were supposed to extend to him the very best in hospitality. Male members of your family would wait at the entrance of the house. There they would greet the guest, they would kiss him on the cheek, and they would anoint him with oil. Then the guest would enter the house, take off their sandals, and head over to the couch. Now, back then, eating styles and dinner arrangements were much different than today. The dining table, if you will, was long and low and down the center of the room. It was surrounded by couches on three sides. And so what would happen is a guest would come to a couch and would recline on the couch on their left arm. Their feet extended away from the table towards the wall. So their head was at the table, feet were at the wall. And while the guests were reclining, a servant would come with a basin of water and put the basin of the water down and would wash the guests' feet. Simon had welcomed Rabbi Jesus into his home without any of the normal courtesies. There was no kiss, no anointing, no foot washing. Most scholars feel It was most likely an oversight, not a snub. I'm not so sure. Because he was a Pharisee, it might have been a snub. Now, also in those days, banquets, these kind of dinners, were public affairs. Anyone could attend. People were allowed to lean against the wall at the feet of the guests or hang out in the courtyard and listen to the discussion. Verse 37 of Luke 7 says this: a woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. Sinful life there means habitually immoral. Her life revolved around sin. And while the text doesn't mention the particular sin, most scholars feel she was a prostitute. And she had heard that Jesus was going to be at Simon's house, and so she headed over to see him. Somewhere along the way, Jesus and this woman had a previous encounter. We know that because down in verse 47, Jesus refers to the forgiveness of this woman's sins in the past tense. He says, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven." Then in verse 48, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And that sounds like the present tense in the English language, but in the Greek in which the New Testament was written, it's in the past tense. Her sins had already been forgiven. At some point in the past, Jesus and this woman had met, and he'd forgiven her sins and her guilt and her shame. They'd been wiped away. And now she stood in the room. She'd witnessed the welcoming omissions. And suddenly, as she looked at Jesus and saw he wasn't welcomed the way he was supposed to be welcomed, her emotions got the best of her. Verse 38. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. She clearly forgot where she was, and she started to cry. And this word cry is the same Greek, comes from the same Greek root word we get the word rain. Her face was raining tears. She literally washed Jesus' feet with her tears. And she had no towel, and no one was going to lend her a towel. And so she let her hair down and started to wipe Jesus' feet dry. For a woman to let her hair down in public was considered a shameful and seductive act, something no respectable woman would ever do. And yet, there she was, wiping Rabbi Jesus' feet with her hair. Then she smothered his feet with kisses. Kissing someone's feet was the ultimate way to express honor and gratitude and submission. She had an alabaster jar of perfume with her. Most likely it would have been a small jar of perfume she wore around her neck. It would have been used to sweeten her breath or to perfume herself, to make herself attractive, important in her line of work. And she broke it open and she poured it on the feet of Jesus. Here's this woman. She is raining tears. Her hair is down. She's pouring perfume on Jesus' feet. She had been absolutely undone in public. This was shockingly inappropriate behavior for this type of dinner party. The room would have gone totally silent. An unclean, sinful woman had touched a rabbi, contaminating him. She'd unbound her hair in public and wiped his feet. They could hardly believe their eyes. They would have been shocked at this woman's actions, but they would have been even more shocked at Jesus' inaction. Jesus should have jumped to his feet and condemned her. And that's why Simon says this in verse 39. If this man were a prophet, and people were saying Jesus was a prophet. And so Simon says, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is and that she is a sinner. In other words, he's saying if Jesus only knew who she was and how dirty she was, for crying out loud, she's a hooker. And she's touching him. And he's doing nothing. You see, to Simon, good people protected their goodness by avoiding sinful people. If Jesus was a prophet, he would have known that. And he certainly wouldn't have let her touch him. His lack of condemnation proved he was not a prophet. And in verse 40, Jesus turned and addressed Simon and said this, Simon, I have something to tell you. And Simon replied, Teacher, tell me. Simon's thinking, okay, now he's going to put this woman in his place, in her place. Now he's going to condemn her. Now he's going to defend himself. And instead, Jesus told Simon a story, a parable. Here it is, verse 41. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Two people owed money. One owed 500 days' wages, one owed 50 days' wages. Neither had the money to pay their debt. They were equally impoverished. The debt was greater, one for the other, but neither one could pay their debt back. So actually, if you think about it, they were equally impoverished. And the money lender, for no apparent reason, canceled and forgave the debt. That means he assumed the debt himself, which allowed both people to go away totally debt-free and forgiven. And after Jesus told Simon the story, he posed a question to Simon, verse 42. Now, which of them will love more? To which Simon answered in verse 43, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. To which Jesus replied, you have judged correctly. The point of the parable is pretty obvious. It's the tale of two sinners, two people who had both incurred debt but couldn't pay, so both needed forgiveness. Jesus wanted to draw the parallel between the two debtors in the story and the two sinners in the room. It was easy for Simon to see the woman's sin. He knew she needed forgiveness. But it didn't occur to him that he was a sinner too. And that he, Simon, needed forgiveness as well. And so while looking into the eyes of the woman, Jesus spoke directly to Simon and he said this, verse 46, 44 to 46. He says, do you see this woman? I just want to stop there for a minute. That is such a great question. Do you see this woman? Here's a little tangent for you. Pastor Miles McPherson, he's a pastor in San Diego, has a powerful insight. He says this, you will never love or treat someone above the label you give them. You will never love or treat someone above the level, above the label that you give them. What did Simon see when he looked at this woman? What label did he put on this woman? Sinner, immoral, prostitute. So how would Simon treat that woman? You will never love or treat someone above the label you give them. What if we started giving people we encountered honorable labels? Loved by God, made in God's image. You will never treat someone above the label you give them. Jesus turned, looking at the woman, but speaking to Simon, said, "Do you see this woman? I came into her house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." In the Jewish culture of the day, you never criticized your host, and yet here Jesus broke the rule, and he's comparing Pharisee Simon to a prostitute, a woman prostitute. "Simon, you had no water for my feet. She washed my feet with her tears and dried my feet with her hair. Simon, you offered me no kiss. She can't stop kissing my feet. Simon, you did not anoint my head. She poured perfume on my feet." And then Jesus drove the point home in verse 47. "Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love is shown. But whoever ever been forgiven little loves little." In other words, Jesus is saying to Simon, "Simon, this woman showered me with affection because she knows she's been forgiven much. But you, Simon, you basically ignored me." There's a connection between devotion and gratitude and forgiveness. The woman was not forgiven because she loved. Her love and devotion and gratitude were evidence that she had been forgiven. She had a boatload of sin. And Jesus walked into her reality and all her shame and all her failure and all her guilt and all her sin. He walked into that reality and forgave her and healed her and set her free. And from this sense of freedom and forgiveness came springs of pure emotion that poured forth in actions of gratitude and devotion. She knew she had been given a tremendous, undeserved gift. Thus, she responded with a lavish and extravagant show of gratitude in return. Let me ask you something today. How long has it been since your heart was so moved by God's love and your mind so amazed by his forgiveness that you felt like expressing it? When was the last time you were like this woman? Now, what about Simon? Jesus said in verse 47, "But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." The Pharisees of those days, they did not consider themselves sinners, at least not sinners like that woman. They saw themselves as much holier, pure, and religious, much more than she was. And so Jesus was saying to Simon something like this: "Simon, you have many sins, but you have little awareness of them. You think you need to be forgiven just a little. Thus you love just a little." When we think about it, we can be like Simon, can't we? We think our sin is not a big problem. Murder, adultery, theft, those are the issues God needs to deal with. Sexual immorality, those are the big things. God needs to go after those things. Our sins of pride, gossip, greed, hey, they're not really a big deal. We often think of ourselves as little sinners in need of a little bit of forgiveness. But here's an uncomfortable truth. We have all sinned. We have all sinned. And just like in Jesus' parable, where both people had a debt they couldn't repay, all of us have sinned. All of us have sinned. And we can't deal with the sin issue by ourselves. For some, it may be 50 days wages worth of sin. Others, 500 days wages worth of sin. It doesn't matter. We're equally impoverished when it comes to sin. We can't deal with our sin issue by ourselves. And just like the moneylender canceled and assumed the debt himself, God chose to pay the price and cancel our debt so that our sin, our guilt, and our shame could be removed and we could be set free. On the cross, Jesus took all our sin upon himself. On the cross, Jesus paid our spiritual debt. On the cross, Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And just like the two people in the parable went away totally forgiven and free, so too we can go away from an encounter with Jesus totally forgiven and free. Let me ask you a really important question. Who do you identify with in this story? Are you like the woman, aware of your sin and your need of forgiveness? Or are you more like Simon the Pharisee, unaware, hiding, maybe in denial? Listen, our greatest need is forgiveness. And our greatest gift and desire, or God's greatest gift and desire, is to give it. Our greatest need is for forgiveness. And God's greatest gift and desire is to give it. Will you let God touch you, forgive you, and free you? Will you let his forgiveness and freedom and joy engulf you like it engulfed that woman? Do you need to hear the words Jesus spoke to that woman in verse 49, spoken to you? Your sins are forgiven. If you hear those words from Jesus, they will change your life. Jesus said to the woman in verse 50 this, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The word peace there in the Greek means wholeness. Jesus said, go in wholeness. Go in wholeness that only I can give you. My prayer is that every single person listening would know the forgiveness and the freedom that Jesus can bring, so that you can walk into this next week knowing that you've been fully forgiven and set free by Jesus. And maybe you're like that woman this morning and you just know, I got a boatload of stuff that Jesus needs to deal with. Come to him. Find his forgiveness and his freedom. Maybe you're like Simon. You're thinking your stuff's not a big deal, or you're in denial, or you're thinking, I don't need forgiveness. God's greatest gift to you is forgiveness, and everyone needs it. Open yourself up to God's forgiveness and freedom. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing, and then I'm going to come back and lead us in communion. And so perhaps during the song, if you don't have communion elements, you'll want to go get them. But let me pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the story, this encounter. I know all of us find ourselves in this story. All of us Father, have stuff we need to bring to you. Some of us are aware of it, some of us are not. And for those that are more like Simon and the woman, I pray that your Spirit would work in their lives to make them aware of their need for you so that they could find the forgiveness and freedom that you can bring. In Jesus' name, amen.